Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Y'all love the Lord. I tell you, it's really wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. We've numbered with the kingdom, numbered with the brotherhood. Amen. We keep on pressing, keep on pushing. There's some things taking place, and I know that some of you may get tired of hearing about maybe the prisons and things, but there's peoples that are being led by the Lord and touched, and they're reaching other people. This brother that called me, this is through Brother Josh's endeavors when he was working in the jails. He told me, he said, Brother Rob, I watch these guys. He said, this man is different. I watch him, how he is, and I think this is one that we could use to get things started in the Carolinas. Well, he's been getting a hold of some things and been getting a little bit of writings. As Steph said, even some of the sermon transcripts, she takes and makes a total sermon summary with scriptural references. I quote a lot of scriptures. She looks them up and puts them down on paper and puts a complete summary of these things, and they're going in, and it's really helping these men and getting found and sound and planted. I know that when you get into some of the doctrines that we teach and believe in and are not getting it elsewhere, it puts them in a peculiar situation. They go into the churches and or into the church services, and most of the chaplains, I'm sorry to say, are not more than just hirelings. It's a job. They don't have a concern. I talk to them. I get on the phone with them. They're denying the word. We've got Trinitarian chaplain. We'll let our stuff in because they consider us as oneness because we believe in Jesus' name, baptism. But then yet they'll tell you in the same breath when you go through orientation that they got to let the Muslim stuff in. And I think I'm going to change roles since I've been kind of sitting back, suffering the wrong in some of these things. And I think I'm going to start demanding. One of the chaplains just now stopped another man. He said, we're not going to let you have no more sermons. He said he cried. He went before the chaplain. He said, brother, he said, look, this is my only thing. He said, by listening to this man's messages, I've done give up all my music. He said, I don't have anything to listen to. The stuff that you guys are offering is music and things I can't listen to. And he goes, this is the only thing I can get help for. And he said, too bad. This is supposed to be a man of God. Cut off two of the men that were reaching and just cut it off. You know, and I do know, brethren, that we have, there's obligations and laws and criterias and things, but they could bend them for somebody that's a Trinitarian like them, or they could bend them whenever they want to, but they're going to take and cut our word off. You know, and there's a price for that kind of foolishness. Different things. We've had Bibles sent back and rejected. This brother up here, he's told the chaplain, he said, because he's been corresponding with me a little bit in letters, this was the first time he's called me. And he went to the chaplain. The chaplain said, we got enough messages and stuff in here. You just listen to what's here. You see, that's a violation because we don't want to listen to what he's offering in there. It's tainted with devils. So I'm going to start taking a different role at this thing. You know, if they're going to start pressing us and telling us that we can't get stuff in, then I'm going to say, why do you let the Muslims in? I'm not sure. Western theology Christian with your lukewarm vomit doctrine. I said, I got a new doctrine and we got our rights too. Amen. It's new to this world. Amen. Because they ain't getting it anymore. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Amen. I know that, you know, we learn to suffer, kind of take the back seat and suffer the wrong, but some of these things are wrong. And when they start depriving these men, so praise the Lord. Let's turn over to the Gospel of Matthew for a moment. We'll read here just a little bit. May not keep you long this evening. Just talking about the Word of God. Amen. Let's go to 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. How many kingdoms did he say? Sometimes I do this purposely, brethren, because sometimes we read by things. So it didn't say, well, this one might survive when it's divided. But he said, every kingdom divided against itself, every kingdom, it is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So we go from a kingdom and we bring it down to a city and then we bring it down to a house. Now, how are we going to interpret what a house is? I can say my home over here. If I got division in my home, it's going to bring problems in my home. You could look at it the same way. We can go to another realm. We could say a house divided, and we think, you know, we're the house of the living God. We're the temple of the living God. Come on now. And the thing is that when we find division, and we know there's a division in our house from birth. Is that right? Come on now, we know that. But by removing the division, then we could find ourselves not in desolation. So if I find in my mind and warring in my own mind, I'm going to find desolation according to this. Correct? You know, we could say here, as it said the house, the city, the church, the marriage, the home, the school. It don't matter. Brethren, it applies to all things. To be single-minded, single-eyed. You know, we as brotherhood, we get together. We have men's meetings. We get together. We fellowship. We talk. We may go to breakfast together. But we're trying to enter into a unified mind where we all got the same purpose, the same plan. You understand that? I remember Brother Pike, you know, we had things that were going on, this, that, and I spoke up at a men's meeting, and there was volunteered help, and they put me over a project, and all this different help volunteered. And I spoke up, I said, I'd rather just have one that'll work with me. Sometimes you get a guy in the job, he wants to argue with you about everything. He's got a different way. There are some things that could be done more than one way, but when you're going to sit and argue about the way to do it, let's just get on it. We're going to get the project done, and if you've got leadership, it'll work out that way. But some, well, I'd rather start over here. No, I'd rather start over here. You know, well, I'd rather do it this way. I'd rather lay the pavement going north. I said, I'll go south. See, that's the vision. We've got to get into one mind and one accord. So we get together, we fellowship together, we talk about the Word of God, and we try to make a presentation and try to do the same thing. It brings success in a business, in a church, in a home, in a marriage, in a community, in a country. Now look at America. We know it's on its way to desolation. Do you agree that America is divided? If we go back to the early years of America, that Christianity would have been the moral compass of Christianity, I should say. We know that there was heathens and reprobates and murders from day one of our country. We know that men were incarcerated on the Mayflower before they ever got off the boat. And we know that they wasn't here on this soil for very long. They was having duels. So yes, the devil's always there. But what I'm saying is when you would have looked at the things as an overall, you would have found that there was a moral, we'll use the term moral compass, in the people set forth by the Word of God. And it kept more of a unity. And it was a demand in the house of God. They demanded, commanded the Word of God. You know, they commanded with an expectation. The first church that was set in Jamestown, if you didn't come to church and worship the Lord, they cut your food rations off for 1 week the first time you missed a service. The second time you service, I think they cut up your food rations off for 2 weeks. And I think the third time they killed you. Man, I'll tell you what, we'd have us a house full. Man, I kind of like them old ways, man. You know? But what I'm saying is these people had a real sense of understanding to think, you know what? This man, you know, we'd allow this to happen. He's going to lose his soul. He's going to die. You know, so maybe they thought, well, the Bible said if they're disobedient, they shorten their days. We're just going to help the word out. I don't know. You know, and if they caught you using bad language, I was there. They showed this thing. They had it in a museum. And they had it was about this long. And it was probably about at least a quarter inch thick, if not 3/8. But it was shaped like a wedge, almost like an arrowhead. And it was made out of wood. And they drove it through your tongue. Well, I tell you what, I'd be speaking some real pure language. Boy, somebody put one and drive that thing through my tongue. Come on now. This is the things that were taking place in Jamestown. One of the early things. So where have we gone, America? House divided against itself. We can't see eye to eye. We got all different kind of thought. Religion is more busted up than anything. There's more different minds and thoughts. And you take a novice kid, I mean, a novice of all novices, a child, and he'll want to stand toe-to-toe with the preacher because he read something on Google. You know, I mean, this is a standard thing, brethren, all over. It's happening in all the churches everywhere. I've been dealing with this stuff even before Google. I remember a lady that was in this church. She goes off to get the tires balanced on her car, and the mechanic there at the church talks to her while she's getting her tires balanced and rotated, and he talks to her, and just in a few minutes, she talked to this other preacher. She comes and opposes me. Says, "You're wrong." "Oh, I am, huh?" "You're an heir, Brother Rob." "Oh, I am. Let's talk about it. How quick can we convert? How quick? Because here's something from that. But did we ever go to the Bible? Did we ever go to the Word? Absolutely not. Never went to the Word of God. You know, so we got an absolute. Let's start back again here. It says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if we by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Amen. We talk about the kingdom come. So what is the fruit of us being in the kingdom of God today? We cast out devils, brethren. That's what we do. You know, and what we've done is every move and every action of God has come, and we want to make it happen all in the church service. Yes, I believe in church services. I believe in laying hands on the sick. I believe in casting out devils and laying hands. But brethren, it's way beyond that. Let me tell you something. You could be talking with a man in town that's got a devil on him, and you, by a kind answer, a soft answer, turning away the wrath, you could be casting a devil out of that man. And all of a sudden, he starts coming to his own reasoning, and that devil departs. And you say, "Well, Brother Rob, I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is." I'm positive that's exactly what it is. When Jesus said to Peter, "Get you behind me, Satan," who was he talking to? I'm asking, who was he talking to? You said, "Well, he's talking to Peter." Well, I can't contest that, but I know who he was talking to because he addressed him by name. He was talking to Satan. He said, "Get you behind me, Satan." He didn't say, Peter said, Satan. Why? Because Satan had entered his mind and his thoughts and was using his vocal utterances. You see, if people could discern, now we go back to the house divided against itself. If people could discern the minds that are using their mouth and their flapper, if they could discern what is utilizing that. And a lot of times there's a lot of head banging, and there's a lot of different things, and it isn't, and it's simply from one thing, leaning to an intellectual, humanistic mind instead of considering the other person. We're all guilty, brethren. You can sit and point at me and I can point at you, but we're all guilty, brethren. You know, I was ministering with a brother in the prison. I talked with many prisoners through the day and different times, and he's having Bible studies in there. And he's getting challenged. He said, "Man, these guys are coming." And I said, "Well, first off, let me help you here." I said, "Number one, you're a prisoner. Okay, they're going to have really not a lot of respect for you because you're just like them. And they're going to think you're just sorry as they are. And you really are." Amen. You know, let's get real with this thing. But nevertheless, I said, "Tell them, say, look, I consider myself the least of you. And I esteem you better, my friend. But I'm not here to sup authority over you or rule over you. I'm here that we could just get together. We need to fellowship in the Word of God, in the Bible. And we need to talk about the Word and love the Word." And I said, "You'll find that they'll be more apt to draw to you and to come to these Bible studies." And, you know, they're reaching people. And some come. He said, "Well, this one guy comes and he thus and thus. And he challenged me with this. As soon as the Bible study's over, he's off, you know, the dog going back to the vomit." And I said, "Well, this is where you do have to have some leadership and not let them, because they'll just come in, spy out your liberties. They're just going to come in to bring chaos and resentment and things and hinder." So I said, "Watch them. If that's what they keep doing, just tell them. Say, look, you just need to go on." You say, "Well, that's different than what you just said." I was talking about reaching them and drawing them in. But once you draw them in, you got to have some order. Amen. You love the Lord? Verse 28. "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come unto you." Amen. We need to exercise these things, brethren. Again, as I said, many times we've brought everything to a church service. You know, the infilling of the Holy Ghost can be a little something happening in the altars, and then we go on and live the way we want. But being filled with the Holy Ghost is a continuous thing. We stay full of the Holy Ghost. We walk in the presence of God and the power of God, and we love the Lord, and we speak about the Lord. We get ourselves, our ambitions and motivations totally out of the way. Amen. And the thing is when we think of casting out devils, we oftentimes think that, you know, it's going to be coming into church or laying hands. But brethren, if that vessel swept clean by the power of laying on of hands and running him off, he's going to bring back more. Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. That's one of the reasons right there. You'll take authority over that demon, and it ain't going to want to mess with you. It's going to go. But when they see this guy walk back out, it's going to come back. That's why we got to use wisdom. You got to educate and teach people to draw nigh unto the Lord. You got to teach them to resist the devil. Now, see, this is part of you as a brotherhood are doing. When we got these prisoners coming in, inmates coming in, people coming in from different places, this is your role. The thing is you could allow a devil to work with you all day by not being in the same mind and in the same spirit and bring division onto your jobs. A lot of times people think, well, you're a Christian, you know, and I'm not teaching you, brethren, go out here and fight, but you know what? We're going to take order. You think Jesus said to Peter, oh, Peter, or, oh, get ye behind me, Satan. That's the way the movie in Hollywood does it. I'll guarantee he raised up his voice, and when he was in the temple of God, I don't think you would have wanted to mess with him. I think you would have seen some fire in his eyes, and when he took that whip and was running the money changers out, I think he meant business, amen? I'm talking to men here. We know how to command and run jobs. We know how to get work done. And when we find a divided mind, it'll destroy your business. It'll destroy your brotherhood. It'll destroy your church. It'll destroy things. So what do? We get together. We fellowship together. We come into one mind and one accord. And we preserve that mind. We have to stop the other minds in love. And say, wait a minute, we ain't going to discuss that. There's no benefit in this. No revelation in this. No strength in this. My Bible says, think on the things from above. You're thinking on the things of below. You're thinking on the things that are carnal. The Bible said the carnal mind is death. It'll kill you. Let's start thinking about things that are virtuous and righteous. Things that are godly. Things that are pure. Things that are holy. You see, this is your obligation, brethren. This is what we do. It's what we do. You say, well, I'm a painter. I'm a tile man. I'm an electrician. No, you're a son of God. Do we talk about the Apostle Paul say, oh, he's a tin maker. He was a tin maker. We knew he was a tin maker, but is that what he's known for? Oh, man, he had some good stitches. He made some good tins. Man, it could withstand a hurricane phase 3 or whatever. You know, no, we don't know about his tin making, but I can promise you it was good and it was perfect. But what we know him, he was an apostle. He was a man of God. He was a man that knew how to endure hardship. That's what we knew him by. We knew him by the word. That's what we want to know you by, the word. But when you're full of the word, you are a good painter. When you're full of the word, you are a good tile man. When you're full of the word, you're a good helper. You're good at whatever it is, because everything we do glorifies the kingdom. And when your business or your employee or your employer or whatever it is isn't glorifying the kingdom of God, then it's a different deal altogether. But we're talking about your responsibility and what you do and what you're doing and what partakers of this ministry that you have. Brethren, we got to all come into a unified mind. And when we find a division to something that's being taught from here, and if you brethren think that the things that are being taught from here is heir to the scriptures, that's why we get together on men's meeting. Say, well, Brother Rob, you know, I got a different idea than you do about this. Or I see the scriptures maybe differently. And even when we do questions like that, we got to make sure who's sitting in the men's meeting. Are we elders and we've been indoctrinated so we could discuss this? Because the Bible said, let ye that are spiritual go to the one overtaken in a fall. And many times the people that go to the one overtaken in the fall aren't spiritual, and then they're overtaken. So there's a revelation, a mind of revelation, and a mind of God. Well, you know, we come to church, and I said, yes, this is what we do. We indoctrinate. We talk about the word. We teach people the word. We talk about how we win souls. We got to come into a unified mind. The only way we could do it. And when we allow another mind, it depends. A Brother Pike, if he would be at a place where there's question, he would watch the questions in a special way. Some questions are tainted, just like Jesus's. When people come to him, they ask, he said, well, I'll answer your question, you answer this one first. And he knew they couldn't answer the question he was going to ask. But sometimes questions are riddled with entrapment. They just want to find fault. But we're wiser than that, aren't we, brethren? We know the Word. We walk in the Word. We're led by the Spirit of God. And we bring everything back. But as I told the brother in the prison, I said, you don't owe it to them. You're just a brother trying to get a Bible study going where everybody could get together in fellowship and discuss the Word of God. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be able to do this. You don't have to know everything. Just tell them, let's get together in fellowship and trust the Lord. And they get together, they pray together and do some things that are beneficial. They need strength, they need encouragement, and those kind of things. But I was saying, you know, don't let them put the heat on you, the weight on you. I do it often as a pastor. Hey, I'm the least of you, man. But let's do our best to serve God. I'll do my best to lead you into the kingdom. I'll help you in every way that I can. Brother John has come a long ways, and I love Brother John. He's with us. He loves us. But I remember when he came here one time, he said, I can't follow you. He said, you ain't like Brother George. And I said, well, no, I'm not. But I said, I got enough God, Brother John, to keep you off the alcohol. And he had alcohol problems. He lost a wife because of alcohol and drugs and the things of the world. I said, you know, I've kept a wife. We've been married 40 years, man. Come on now. I mean, that should testify something. Hey, I could help you, man, tell you how to keep a marriage. You know what I'm saying? My wife could help. I'm not a drunk. I don't have alcohol problems, brethren. I don't have tobacco problems. I could help you. You know, no, I'm not Brother George. I never pretended to be him. He indoctrinated me with a lot of things. He was a man, you know, who here is like him? You say, well, I'm more like him than you are. Well, praise God, you're more accountable than me then. Do something with it. You know what I'm saying? Praise God, I'm thankful. You know, if we're all on a team, you know, and we're all together as a team, I appreciate strength. I appreciate understanding. It's not a competition thing where I got more God. No, I hope you got more God than me because I don't feel like I got a lot. But I got enough to save my soul. I got enough to help others, I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it ain't about, Brother Rob, it's about the kingdom of God, about us coming into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. And there's people that got different gifts than others. And there are people with different measures of those gifts. Praise God. If we were a ball team, praise God. You know, it's like, well, Randy's a better pitcher than me. I don't like that. Hey, I'm glad he is, man. We could win. I can give me one of them Super Bowl rings when he throws the timeouts or whatever, the home runs. Praise God. Amen. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house, verse 29, and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now this is revelation, brethren. We could look at this so simple, and it is so elementary, but then yet it goes so far beyond. This is the foundation of success. This is a foundation. This is the Word of God. It's in red. Verse 29, one more time. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except the first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blaspheming shall be forgiven unto men, but blaspheming against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. A lot of people have troubles understanding that right there. What do you mean I could blaspheme the Son of Man and be forgiven, but the Holy Ghost? You know how many doctrinal differences there are in people when it gets into this? And I'll tell you, it should put the fear of God into people. You know, had a little lady right down here in the basement. I think everybody knows my wife is pretty congenial, pretty laid back. And this woman kept on contesting and pressing me in my spirit. And pressing me, calling me a liar. And pressing me, calling me a liar. And I kept reaching for her soul, trying to love her, suffering the wrong, getting spit at, and wiping the spittle. And I kept doing it. And Irene finally got tired of it. And Irene come up. She put her finger in her face and come up and got in her face. And she said, I am sick of you lying and I'm sick of you talking to my husband this way. And I thought, whoa, calm down, Sister Irene. Take it easy. I had to cool her down there for a minute. But I'm telling you something. I told her this. I said, Sister, you need to be careful. I said, you can blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. I never told her she did. But I said, you need to be careful. And 2 minutes later in the conversation, she just called me a liar. She said, you said I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, no, I didn't. She said, yes, you did. I think that's when you got up and got in her face. I don't know. But when I gave her a word from the Lord and she said that that was of the flesh, was it the flesh or was it the Holy Ghost? Now, if I got a word from God for somebody and I say, thus saith the Lord, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is what moves in the gifts in a man's life today. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. And you reject. The Bible said they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't discern the body of the Lord. I'm the body of the Lord. And it was the Lord speaking through me. I gave her an exhortation. And she rejected it and denied it. She rejected the Word of God. We've had people come through. That individual needed help. Probably more so religious as could be. You remember in the church service, couldn't sit still. She would come in and disturb the services, stomp down here, stomp down there, come over here. Never could sit under the anointing of God. That's one way you could tell when there's a devil in somebody. They don't want to get in the presence of the Lord. They don't want to get in the anointing of God. They'll get real wiggly. You heard the old saying about a nine-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Yeah, I've seen it. And had one sitting up here the other day on the front row, a little preacher. And he was kind of squirmy. You know what I'm saying? Brethren, it's what we do. We're reaching for people. We're loving people. We're helping people. Now, I go back to this thing because we've gotten on a topic here. It's talking about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, what is the difference between the Son of Man and the Holy Ghost? What is the difference? And we start differentiating between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And when we talk about the Holy Ghost is the completed works of God at Calvary. Because the completion of the abolishing of death is what brought forth the Holy Ghost. And we speak against that. There's nothing else, brethren. The Son of Man hadn't completed his work until the Holy Ghost was given. You see, the Son of Man had to take that fleshly image to the cross of Calvary, and it had to be killed. And to abolish death was to bring forth a victory from death. And when he came forth from death, it showed the doing away with death. And that had to be done. But you see, the Holy Ghost, brethren, is the fruit and the fulfillment of Calvary. And if we speak against that, there's nothing else. There is nothing else in this world or the world to come. We don't want to speak against the Holy Ghost. And we got to be so careful when we start thinking and speaking by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that don't have respect for the Holy Ghost today or the voice of God because there's so many that are saying, thus saith the Lord. And it isn't God. It's their fleshly concept of religion. It's their fleshly ambitions for the move of God in the work that they're involved in. I've watched it for years. I've watched it for many, many years. And when we think of the prophetical utterances, the prophet, thus saith the Lord. And this is what the word of the prophet has come to in the churches of America. Oh, Brother Andy Beachy, God has showed me, my friend. Oh, he's going to pour out the floodgates of heaven upon you. Brother, all the way from the top of your head down to the sole of your feet. I'm mocking, yes. I've heard these things year after year. And yes, God can speak that to a brother. That's pressing. He could encourage a man and say, brother, everything's going to be all right. If that brother had been in travail in prayer and things, and it would look like, my, how's this going to happen? A prophet of God could say, brother, it's all going to work out. Man, God has heard your prayer, my friend. He's heard you petitioning the throne of God. He's going to work it out for you. It's going to be taken care of. Be at peace, my friend. Have set your faith and believe. God has got this all under control. That could be a word of a prophet. But this same old thing. All the time, all the time. But let me tell you something. If you follow the prophetical word, many times it's bringing strong exhortations and telling people they need to fall on their face and repent before God, that destruction is coming to their land or their homes or their houses or their families. Now we go back to where we started at here. We're talking about a kingdom divided. I made a prophetic utterance in men's meeting the other night. I started to make, but then the Lord, man, the Spirit of God moved on me. And I ended up making it a prophetic utterance. I said, man, this is the Lord speaking. Now, come on, brethren, we got to make sure. And I said some because, you see, we, because of allowances and things that we could do, you've heard me say that I've seen the parents sign death certificates for their own children. You think they would sit down and write it down on a paper? What did Brother Rob see? What did I see if I didn't see it wrote down on paper? You know, and when I say I've seen these visions of the blood of the children dripping off the hands of the parent, and you say, what did you see, Brother Rob? What does that mean? The blood of the child dripping off the parent's hands. And I see that parents so many times, they would never willingly, brother, a mother or a father would never kill their children willingly. But a blind mama will lead her children into a pit or into hell. A blind father will lead their children and their wives into a pit, into hell. Not willingly, but they're overconfident and they don't see. But this is where sight comes in. This is where revelation comes in. This is where eye-opening comes in. In all facets of things, understanding the invisible world by things we see, there's an order. You understand that? There is an order. And we look for an order to make sure things are in the right perspective or the right track or the right place. We look for that. There's an absolute order in all things. In mathematics, there's an order to come up with the solution or the answer. And if you get some numbers out of order, or some of the way to work this thing out of order, the answer is going to be wrong. So we find these things in the spiritual world. There's things in the natural world and the order of the natural that'll put things out of order in the spiritual. You understand what I just said? And the thing is that, let me go to some scripture for you can understand what I said. And I use the same scriptures oftentimes. I use them for foundation because when you hear them, it's going to bring a thought. You see, my natural order, if I am an unforgiving person, you know what? I don't want to forgive you because I don't like you. And I just want to be ill with you. I want to be mad at you. Okay, that's an order. I set an order there, but you see what I said in the spiritual heavens? I set an order in heaven. I had the ability to bind forgiveness in heaven through carnality, through bitterness, through hate, and I don't get the forgiveness from God because I don't have the forgiveness here. Now, so what I'm saying is we look for an order, and we try to understand an order. Now, if you are helping me disciple, helping me to bring people into the kingdom, and you see these hindrances of these small, the little foxes, or you see these hindrances that are going to keep a man because they're in a different mind, a different order, in a different way, it's your obligation to work on the order, to work on the things. Whoa, that won't work. I know what this does. It's as simple as, you know, you say, I push this button right here, and it brings an elevator to this level, okay, by pushing this button. Do you realize how simple that is? You know, I'm going to stand here, and you're looking at this pocket door in the wall, and you're looking at it. I said, what are you looking at? I just wonder what it does. We got pushed a button. Pushed a button. Pushed a button. Okay. So there's buttons that we could push in the kingdom to bring results from the kingdom of God. And when we make an action of faith, we're going to expect a substance. We're going to expect this thing. You know, when we just talk about faith, it's something invisible. But when we bring it to the completion of the fullness, it's going to be a substance with it. You know, if the doctor sees sickness in my body, but I see in faith that, you know what, I don't care what your x-ray says, doc. Man, I'm healed, thus saith the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, you know, well, you could tell me that all day, but you're a sick boy. And I say, well, you know what, bro, doc? I said, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, you better let me cut on you. I say, no, sir, you ain't cutting on me. I said, I'm healed, thus saith the Lord. And then one day he looks back at him with his picture and said, where'd it go? That's substance, brethren. That's a substance to that faith. It brought forth a substance. It brought forth new healthy tissue. It removed the sickness. It removed the disease. It removed it out of the way. And now it's a substance. Amen? And see, where do we apply this at? Where do we do this at? We got to teach people to walk by faith. Do you realize that? If we got to contend for the faith and we got to exercise faith and we got to press into the kingdom, you know, but what are you so lazy about in Christianity today? Oh, praise God. You know, we've turned prayer life into an excuse. Well, you know, let me tell you, brother, let me go pray about it. You need to say, won't you shut your religious, dried up, ignorant mouth? Because you ain't going to go pray about nothing. That's an excuse to get out of my presence. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. This preacher, matter of fact, brings a thought. This preacher I was talking with, and he said a person come to him. He said, well, pastor, I want you to pray with me if it's the Lord's will for me to get another car. And he said, what are we going to do that for? You don't think it's God's will for you to get a new car? The piece of junk you're driving ain't going to hardly... I'm wondering if it's going to get you to work tomorrow or get you home. I could tell you the will of God. I don't have to go petition a throne. You need a new car. See, some people don't like that. Well, I just want you to pray. Yeah. Come on now. Brother Pike made this statement to me about ministers. He said he sent ministers in the field. And I'm going to use this ignorant expression here. And he didn't probably use this ignorant expression, but he told me they would call me for to make some of the stupidest decisions. Well, they got flowered toilet paper at Costco, you know, with flowers on it and perfume. You think I'd just get the white with no perfume in it? Yeah. And then they go make a major decision that has to do with souls and people and make the decision without ever talking with the pastor. You see, what are we talking about here? We're talking about division, divided against itself. And you all know, brethren, that statement is, say, I want you to call me about every decision you make. You know, but this what you should have taken this is a lot of times you say, let me pray about. What is there to pray about? If your brother's in need, we're going to help him. I got the mind of the Lord, the mind of revelation. Everything that Jesus come to, did he have to say, well, let me go? He stayed in a state of continual prayer. He knew the will of the Father. Brethren, we should know the will of the Father. If this man needs help, let's help him. There are times, yes, we got to petition the throne of God, brethren. We need some direction. We need some clarity on things. I've had to do this many times. But what I'm saying is in many times, I'll tell you this story again. I was dealing with a preacher down here in Greensboro. And he said, Brother Rob, he said, I want you to pray with me about this. And I said, yeah, man, I'm all ears. I said, well, what is it, brother? And he said, well, the head deacon in my church has gone off into an adulterous relationship. I want you to pray with me, you know, that I can know how what to do with this. And I said, brother, I don't need to pray with you about that. What in the world do I need to petition the throne for? He just got done telling me what happened. The guy committed adultery. What is there to pray about? He needs to be removed. Cut and dry. You know, I don't have to petition the throne of God to make a decision like that. That guy's the one that made the decision to defile the word of God, to defile the kingdom of God, to bring reproach to the local body, to bring reproach to the church of God by committing adultery. The only thing we can do is remove the man. Listen, brethren, don't think for a moment I'm trying to get you away from praying. But what I'm saying is there's a time to pray. But in those kind of times, there's a time to make a decision because we've already been in prayer. We've been in prayer for the mind of God and the way God thinks. And the brother has walked us over. He's got to be removed. It doesn't mean we're going to kill him or throw him out. It means that he could be restored to the kingdom or Christianity, maybe not to the position. The purpose of what I'm saying is sometimes people use prayer for a scapegoat, to get out of the heat. It's like, this is a good time for me to bow out. They used to use the men's bathroom at a place called Little Bethlehem for an excuse. They didn't have to go to the bathroom. They wanted to get out from under the anointing of God because they were a bunch of reprobate devils that didn't want to get in the altars and get set free of the demon spirits that they had. So every time Brother George would say stand, about 20 of them would run into the men's bathroom because they were full of the devil. Thus saith the Lord. You say, well, I knew one had to go pee-pee, Brother Rob. Yeah, well, praise God for him. But I'm talking about the ones that have done it every single service. You know, if a man is an elder man, he's got bladder or something, man, yeah, get in the bathroom. That's what it's for. But they want to go in there and just talk and fellowship and hang out. And where did the heathen go that was under the convicting power of God that came out to visit? They seen 20 guys going to the head. Hey, looks like my way out. That's what I'm saying about Christians with prayer. They want to do the same thing. They want to do the same thing. It's like, well, let me go pray about it. You ain't going to pray. You're getting out from under the conviction of God and making a decision. We do need to pray Don't misunderstand this message. But you know what? When you've been before the Lord and the answer is the same every time, what you're praying about. I've used this with my wife. We've been married a long time. She knows certain foods I like and some I don't. And you know what? She don't ask me every day, well, you ain't make that? Well, I ain't like that for 40 years. You think I'm going to start tonight? Go pray about it, honey. Come on, man. I think you need to pray about it. Go ahead and cook it. You eat it. Come on. You know, I'm simple, brethren. Yes, we do need to petition the throne and pray and seek the Lord and talk to the Lord. But some of these things, brethren, there ain't nothing to pray about. Well, I was over on the job, Brother Rob, and, you know, we're building a debt for the guy, and it's hot, and he offered me a beer. I guess I got to go pray about it. Oh, Lord, can I suck a Budweiser down today? Wasn't supposed to yesterday. Come on, man. What are you praying about? I don't drink beer. I'm a son of God. I've been set free from that stuff. I see it killing people. I see it destroying marriages. I see it destroying homes. Why would I have to pray about that? I'd have to pray about going to, well, those are your convictions, Brother Rob, about sports. I just don't, not convicted about it because you don't pray. There's something to pray about. Go pray and ask God to help you. And you'll find if you'd listen and quit reasoning, you're going to find out you're saying sports are killing people. Sports are causing people to fall out of church. Sports are pulling people out and it's the carnal mind. I don't think a preacher should be promoting that. Anybody else here? Come on, man. I don't think they should be promoting that junk. Come on, man. Oh, I got to pray about it. Yeah, you just ain't hearing what you want to hear. You know? I tell you, praise God. You love the Lord tonight? See, I come to get edified tonight. I hope you're getting it. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. And the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. That's not complicated, is it? It's very easy to see what's spewing out of a man's mouth and know where he's at. It's very easy to see, to listen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when you see things being spoke forth by the mouth, you say, hey, Brother Rob, pray for me to get discernment. I say, why don't you just pray to listen? What made the mouth speak the things that's being spoke? The abundance of the heart. So now we have another revelation coming. There's a corrupt heart, an evil, corrupt heart that needs set free, that needs delivered, and needs help. You see, this is what we come to church for, before we could be trained how to make identity. If you want to be a physician, and I say, okay, this is what we do as doctors. We take a scalpel. We cut flesh open, we open up. And you know, when we start removing stuff, we want to know what we're removing. Come on, man. Oh, I opened him up. I mean, what'd you get? I don't know, man, but I just reached and found something. Sewed him back up. He'll be all right. Nah, man, we get trained. They put me in there and tell me to get the bladder. I'm thinking, man, all kind of looks like one. Yeah, I better get some training, huh? But what about when we cut it into a man and trying to go in there after the thing that's killing him and destroying him? We need to identify it. So here we go. We're talking about discernment. What about the abundance of the mouth? And we hear it speaking and confessing or professing evil continually. Evil, evil, hate, evil, bitterness, ugliness, all the time. It's saying, hey, we need to fix a heart. We need to have love and compassion because we can tell what's spewing forth is death. It's carnality, it's evil, it's the enemy of God. It's going to kill them. We need to look at people and say, you know, man, this is just awful. No, but we need to look at them and say, you know what? This man is going to go to hell. This woman is going to go to hell. And we need to love them and start shaping and molding. And one person can't do it. When you get involved in a work like this, and when you're on the job, you got to be in the same mind, looking at the same thing, making the same analyzation, making the same revelation, the same judgment. And you're saying, nope, this ain't going to work. Nope, it ain't going to work. Nope, it ain't going to work. When mom and dad are divided, and mama allows and daddy doesn't, you've divided the house and it's going to go to desolation. Every time. The kids will be the one to reap the nastiness of it. The children are going to perish. The children are going to die. Sometimes I don't like the way I make observations. Because you look at something and you think, okay, praise God, laugh it off a little bit. But I'm looking farther down the road. I'm seeing a child that's going to hell. Oh, it's funny, but a child's going to hell. Oh, it's just no big deal, but the child's on the way to hell. Those things grow and they build and they get bigger. And sometimes there's no return. There's no return. It happens. It comes to a point of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. And there ain't no forgiveness in this world, the world to come. The abomination of desolation, brethren. You know, the abomination of desolation, when we get so puffed up in our mind that we are more powerful than God, and the mind of revelation, and the mind of God, and the heart of God. And we make decisions after our own defiled heart. And we do, and make decisions, and we reject. Man, it's a dangerous place to be. You know, brethren, let's quit trying to project ourselves of being somebody spiritual with our knowledge, and let's show them how spiritual with our love of God, with trying to just help and see their need and help them in their need. It's tough. It's not easy to help people. You know, physicians, how would you like to be helping somebody trying to get the stethoscope on them or the thermometer down their throat when they're puking on you? It's a nasty job sometimes. You know what? But you've entered in to the ministry of helps. I'm in the ministry of helps, brethren. Don't take that as an insult. You know, there's one headship and it's the Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm the headship of this church, but he's my headship and we're all following after the same thing. Find a rightful place. Be willing to submit into that place. If you're looking for this higher plateau, you will never reach it until you submit into the lower one. And fulfill it, and then you'll fulfill the next and fulfill the next. People like to bypass that. Women bypass it with provocative, perverted way. They get into corporations, you know, and I'm sorry to say it this way, brethren, but they'll sleep their way to the top. You know, they're bypassing corporate structure. And men, because they're laden with lust, they'll do that. They'll bring them right on in, all the way to the top. A lot of times I'll turn on the news report, and I'll click the screen off into something else. And I'll just listen to it, the video. And you know, what are the qualifications to be an anchor woman today? I'm asking you. Legs? Yeah, thank you, Miss Coons. Johnny wanted to say it, but he just, I ain't saying it. Legs and hips. Come on now. I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, I've turned on a news thing the other day, and I don't remember what it's about. But here's these three or four women up there. What happened to newsmen? Where'd these guys go? And then got these four dingbats. One of them, I'm telling you, she could do calisthenics with them. She had these big old black looking eyelashes out there, you know. And I mean, it's like pluck it off, and you can use it for a fan, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm looking at it. Is that supposed to be attractive? Honestly, I mean, people are twisted in their mind. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, why do they have them up here like that? Are they a good news reporter? Are they a good meteorologist? No, but they got, you know, the hips in the right proportion and the thighs and the legs in the right proportion. And they swing and move just right. And, no, you know, like, I'm watching Fox 8, man. Woo-hoo. Same reason the perverts go to the football game, John. They can't wait, you know, until halftime. And see, people say, you just think it's that way. No, you're a pervert, and that's the problem. I'm looking at you on the camera. I love you anyway, you pervert. No. I tell you, brethren, I am really disgusted. I'm sick of the preachers and the ministers that are going around telling me that they're spirit-filled and Holy Ghost-filled, and they're so wrapped up in the world. And they could tell you every doggone ball game and every bunch of filth that's going on. They could tell you about who they're going to vote for and all that. And you never hear the revelation of Jesus Christ or something that's going to benefit somebody. We went to church, a good service, because everybody shouted and yelled. We can do that at the ball game. See, they learned that playing football. You know, we get excited, hallelujah, whoopee, they ran across the line. They go to church and do the same thing. But brethren, when people get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, they come out of the world. They come out of the world, and they're in love with the Lord, their God, and they're not seeking another ball field. They're not seeking a ball team in the church. They're not seeking those things. They're about the Father's business. Amen. There's just some fruit of somebody getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It ain't stammering lips and blabbing there and speaking in some unknown language. It's a matter of getting filled with the power of God, the endurance of God, the strength of God, the anointing of God, and walking as a peculiar person in this world. They're different. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we can just finish reading down through this chapter and let's all stand together for just a moment. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. How many wants to bring forth good things? I'm going to be numbered with them good men. Amen. Come on, brethren. Let's bring some good things forth. Amen. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Powerful thing there in that tongue, huh? James talks about a little bit too, about that littlest member in the body. Amen. We got to be careful how we speak, what we say, how we say it. Why we say it. What motivated me to say that? Come on, brethren. We want to be motivated by the kingdom and by the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ. Then a certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Jonah. Same word goes for today, brethren. Now Jesus said that there's one greater than Jonah is here today. There's one today the same way, and it's you. You're a son of God. There was a lot of dispute over, you know, Brother George. They said, well, you know, Brother Branham was the prophet, you know, thus us and us. And Brother George made it very clear. You know, he said that the law and the prophets were unto John and the kingdom preached. And he said, we're the sons of God, much greater than the prophets. Brethren, we're not in struggles for these things. We're the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Brethren, we need to rest in that and be at ease in that. And when we find ourselves in the fleshly political struggles of humanity, dogs, they snare at each other, horses kick each other, animals fight each other, men fight each other because they're beasts. They got a beast nature and a beast mind. We're sons of God, we don't have that. We consider our brother greater than ourselves. We love our brother. We're seeking for his good. We're reaching out to him and helping. And that's the Christ-like way. It's not what we're taught in school. That's one thing about sports. They teach us to fight, struggle, and kill, whatever it takes to win. But that's not the kingdom way, brethren. You know, Christianity wouldn't be too good in sports. You know, you're going, here, right, brother, you have the touchdown. You take it. You know, but you'd go somewhere with that kind of a mindset. You know? Come on now. But you see, we're trained in everything to go against the kingdom, the mind of revelation. You see, but we're going to go back and we think about, it's a mind, it's a revelation, it's the way we think, it's the way we do. So if you're divided against me in the way you think, and you're going to be contrary to everything that you do and I do or whatever, then we're divided and we can't stand and we're not going to be a success. So it isn't about the division between me and you. It's about me and you coming together to help him. And this is why we prefer our brother greater. But how many of us have that revelation here tonight? Help me, Jesus, is what Brother Rob says. Help me, Lord God, help me. But normally, we're in these competitive struggles as men, continually wanting to be smarter and better and project ourselves. That's of the devil, brother. We can't do that. I know that we are competitive people. You know, man, this guy went out and laid out this much, and this guy laid that much. That's okay. Brethren, it's okay to, we should challenge ourselves, press, and expect more. A man called me one time on the phone, and I, you know, this has been a few years back. He said, you know, Brother Rob, I gave $35,000 to the work of the Lord last year. And I said, praise God, man, let's do 70 this year. And you say, you're a greedy dog, Brother Rob. Now, why would you call me a greedy dog? Why would you call me a greedy dog? Because if he gave 70, that means he made that much more. I was blessing him and speaking in a positive way. And the one that thinks that way, you greedy dog, is usually the one the preacher has to help more than any of them. Because he hasn't come to the mind of revelation. You see, and you know, and it's like saying, man, you've done 35. This would be the Lord speaking to a man, and he said, you know, Lord, I took that one talent you gave me, and praise God, I took it and I made three more. And he says, man, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's take those three and make six now. Now, can you receive that? So is that what I said to the man? He said, Brother Rob, I gave 35,000. I said, well, let's do 70. If the man says, I've done 70, he said, well, praise God. Let's do 140, amen. We're talking about progression. Well, it's not about money, Brother Rob. No, it isn't. But I'm telling you what, if the guy done any labor that he had to give, then let's pray that God will increase his labors and increase his giving. And then he's got that much more treasures in heaven. He's got that many more things stored away for all of eternity. Okay, now we're going to stop at that. We're going to turn this around just a little bit. Okay, my name is Savings Account for Paul Stone Vacation Trip. For his retirement, I should say. I'm the bank account. Oh, here, I want to put $500 in the bank. Oh, no, you can't do that. Don't you do that. Keep and spend your money. I'm his bank. No, no, listen, I'm not the preacher now. I'm his savings account. Don't you put no money in here. Well, when he gets in retirement, he ain't going to have none, is he? Now, I'm not teaching you to go put your money away for retirement. I'm talking about sowing away for the kingdom. But you know, when we're talking about sowing in the kingdom, why would somebody resent that? Why would somebody? Because they're not given and they're full of envy and strife. That's why people have a check in their spirit when those conversations come up. But you see, when a man's sowing into the kingdom, all the stuff he spends out here in the world is carnal and natural. There's no reward for except the reward of having a home and a place and keeping yourself keeping yourself not being a reproach to the people. So yes, there's reward in it. But I'm talking about the eternal treasures is how we sow into the kingdom. So when a preacher says for a guy to double his increase, man, that's blessing him. It's a blessing. It isn't greedy. As I told the man, I said, you need to tithe. Brother Rob doesn't need it, nor does the kingdom, but you need to give it for you could be blessed and get your pockets sewed up. Come on now. That's just doctrine, brother, and preaching the gospel. All right, let's sing here, and the altars are open. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Be in prayer with me. Be in prayer for me. Amen. Let's join together. Unify together. Let's don't be divided against one another. Let's come into a unity of one mind and one accord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So kind. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Lord. Amen. You shine like a bright morning star. I want some of you sisters around the sister in the altar. Some of the brethren, I want you to gather closer. Amen. Sister has a need tonight. We're going to anoint her with oil according to the Word of God. But we're going to tarry just for a moment. We're going to worship the Lord. Come on, saints. I want to get us all in that one mind. If we're divided in the way we worship, or we're divided in the way we pray, divided in the way... You know, this sister has a physical need in her body that concerns her. Amen? We all do, brethren. We go through infirmities and things. And you know what? This is what the house of God is for. The church is for. We petition the throne of God. And we expect, because the Bible teaches us, that He grants our petitions to us. Amen. We've seen people in this church get delivered from sicknesses, from diseases, from things that kill and destroy and take life. Amen. But it's because we're a unified brotherhood. And if I'm waiting to find your spirit reaching out. I haven't found it yet. I'm waiting to feel your spirit. I'm waiting to feel the virtue of God moving through your body. That I could feel your faith going out to this sister. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Let's pray together. Father, there's a need here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I could lay hands on. I feel the virtue of the Lord right now. But come on, brethren. Come a little closer over here. A little closer. Come on, brethren. I know we keep a segregation and keep the things, but we're praying right now. This is a sister, a saint of God. It's one of our sisters and labors. Shows herself faithful in the house of God. Amen. When she's tired, when she don't feel good, she comes anyway. Makes herself available to the kingdom. That's called sacrifice. Amen. And it's time to call upon the Lord. Amen. How many can believe with me that God has heard her prayer? I feel the virtue now. Amen. I can feel the anointing of God now. Hallelujah. Here's some oil, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God. As I speak the word of faith right now by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority and power from heaven, hallelujah, by the one that said had all power in the name of Jesus, I speak to this infirmity right now in the name of Jesus Christ. This hindrance that has caused a problem in this body, I say must go. Some of the things spoken, I say they got to go right now in Jesus' name. And those things that wasn't spoken, in Jesus' name, I say, Lord God, You created this body. You made this body. And Lord God, I say that You could put everything in order in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And I speak life and health and healing right now in Jesus' name. I say that this must depart and leave. Satan, You're a liar and You're the father of all lies. And I say that this sister is healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. By His works and His labors. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Your holy name, Lord God. Hallelujah. I say that it's gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I feel better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I expect a report, Brother John. Amen. I expect a report. Amen. You know why? Because my Lord... labors wasn't in vain at Calvary. My Lord's beating upon His back wasn't in vain. He done that for Sister Melissa. Amen. Hallelujah. He sees her loyalty and faithfulness, and He said, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. He said, oh, enter into this healing. Amen. Enter into this virtue. Amen. Enter into this right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say it's done. Can you believe that with me? Amen. Can you believe that with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Brother John Whitlow, can you believe that with me? Amen. No, I said, can you believe that with me? Amen. Hallelujah is one thing, and I say yay and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel like you got what you come for? Amen. Let's don't be divided, brother. We got to come to a unity. We got to come into one mind and one accord. We got to come in to this mind. As a brethren, we need to move for the Lord. Amen. We need to be moving for the kingdom. Amen. We need to be winning souls, Brother Paul, Brother Manny. We need to be winning souls. We need to have the anointing of God pouring out of us on our jobs. When we go to work, they need to see the authority and the power of God. Something comes around and wants to taint what we do. Don't let it happen. Man, we've got to keep moving, pressing, moving, pressing, pressing, moving, travailing, expecting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Brother Jeff Chapman, they've accepted the interstate compact for him to come to North Carolina. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And it won't be more than 90 days, but it could be any day. Amen. Amen. little brother, man. He's so excited. Amen. Hallelujah. When was the last time you was excited about going to church, being around the brotherhood, being around the family of God? You see, we need that zeal and that excitement. We need that same kind of enthusiasm. You know, man, I got a brotherhood. Some people have never been out, never been in the desolation, never been in the cutoff places. They don't know the pain of it. They don't know the despair of what it feels like when the Holy Ghost has moved away from you. Amen? Brother Pike shared this testimony. He said that the Lord pulled away from him for 1 year while he was a pastor. And he said, man, he pressed and he prayed and he done things and he sought the Lord. And he said he kept on pressing and kept on pressing and kept on pushing. And he said, the Lord, he said, I wanted you to know how the Lord felt at Calvary when the Father turned his back. And when you feel the pain of that, and you feel the pain of that, you'll have a compassion and a sorrow for the no good, for the rejects, for the down and out. But when you don't have love and concern for them that nobody wants nothing to do with, you can't even call yourself a son of God. Brethren, we got to have a desire to win souls. Don't look for the one that is recognized by the world. Man, they're so eat up with the world, they ain't going to hear you anyway. Go to that one in the highways and the byways. All them others rejected, take it by the hand. Say, I love you, man. I love you. Brother Joseph's mother called me. She said, brother, why? Why would you take my son in? Why? Have you read his rap sheet? He's been a failure all of his life. I said, praise God. Sounds like sonship material to me. Amen. Come on now. But why would you do this? Because this is what we do. We love and we help. Amen. And we teach and we train. Discipleship, that's training, brethren. Discipleship is training. It's training, teaching, leading. How long before we give up, Brother Ed? How long? How long before we say, it ain't going to work? God was merciful for me and he kept on tugging, kept on pulling, kept on drawing, kept on drawing, kept on pulling. I think of all Sister Vivian's prayers for this guy. You know, she never quit petitioning the throne. He was an outcast to this world, the way he was living, the things he was doing. But Mama kept praying. She kept praying. She gets a breakthrough. She said, my son's coming in. Amen? She said, my son's coming in. You see, that's faith, my friend. Looking beyond what you see with your eyes and looking to the hope of Christ, that he can reach down to the uttermost. Amen? And brother, guys like Brother Greg, when they come in, it's to show others there's hope. Amen? There's hope for the hopeless. Because my God could reach down to the uttermost, amen. And he could pull you out of the mire. And he could clean you up. He could set you apart. He could fill you with the Holy Ghost and power. And you could start walking in them mountaintops, amen. Up in them heavenly places. In them high places, amen. Because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. You've been caught away out of the beggarly things of this world, amen. Don't let the gravitational pulls of this world bind you to this old wretched planet, amen. Just get set free in Jesus, amen. Walk into heavenly places, amen. Don't look at the world. Don't look at it. Look at him. Think on his things. Look above. Think on the things that are above. Think on the things that are virtuous. Think on the things that are righteous, amen. You feel like you got what you came for? All right, let's shake hands on it. I'm in agreement with you. Amen. You agree with it? I agree with it. Amen. Hey, look at me, young man. You think Mama got what she came for? All right, shake hands. I agree with you. All right? See, it's because of prayer. You prayed and you believed. Amen. That's the way it goes, right? God's good, isn't he? Amen. Y'all love him? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Like an eagle. Is that today she called you?
Yeah. I called her on the way.
He called me and I was on the phone, but I talked to him a second. I was supposed to call him back. All right. Let's pray for Brother Marion right now. Brother Greg said his mother called and that they've diagnosed him with pneumonia. Is that correct? Let's petition the throne right now, saints of God. And Isaiah. Let me see if I can figure out how this thing works. Here we go. The light is on, means it's muted. Testing. Chuck, Brother Chuck. Test, 1, 2. Oh, I got this one. Say something in that.
I love the Lord.
Oh, okay. That's a good start, but we're going to pray. Take the mic. And we're going to pray for Brother Marion Wise. You know who that is? They just said he's got pneumonia.
Papa?
Yeah, Papa. You can call him Papa. That'd be all right. I want you to direct us in prayer. Come on now. I want you to lead us in prayer. Let's pray with this little brother. Come on. Speak out to the Lord. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God.
Thank you for all you do.
Praise you, Jesus.
Please.
Father God, as this young fella prays, Father God, for this elder brother. Father, we ask you to hear the prayer of this saint of God. In Jesus' name, Father. Grant the petition, Father God. Oh, Lord God, I know, Lord God, that you have... and have given all authority over these things, Father, in this sickness that they've declared. Father, we speak that it's a lie from hell. And I say that the airways, the lungs may open right now in Jesus' name. Father, that these passages open up. Father, that he could breathe and breathe normal and breathe good, Father. We say that pneumonia is a lie from hell once again, Father. We say it's a lie from hell. That he can breathe in Jesus' name. Father, I say that this infirmity must pass right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Isaiah. Thank you, little brother. You see, brethren, we need to be ready all the time to be called upon. God might say, hey, I want you to petition the throne. Amen. You know, the other night, Brother Paul was over at the house with his wife, and the Lord spoke to him and said, he needs to pray. He needs to be the one to lead this in prayer. And when he prayed, I felt the virtue of the Lord, man. I felt the anointing of God. You see, but that's what, when mom and dads are having problems, that's what they need to hear, is they need to hear daddy praying.
Sure.
Amen. That brings resolve. It brings reconciliation. It brings mending. It brings repair. Amen. To hear him pray. To hear him pray, I said, you pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be utilized of the Lord. We need to be called upon. We need to allow when he calls to listen, for we be obedient to what he calls upon. Man, he prayed with a man another day on a job site, and the man called him again. He prayed with him on the phone. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. He says, well, look, he goes, I ain't got what you need, man. You need to call my pastor. The guy told him. Good reproof to brother man. He said, no, the Lord told me to call you.
Praise
Amen.
God.
I think that's the way it should be. He loves his pastor. He wants to point him that way. That's proper. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, there's time we need to be known that we can be called upon. We did the same thing, Brother John. Somebody's sick, hey, Brother George. 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 Somebody needs this, hey, Brother George. You know what? We're the sons of God, brethren.
Amen.
We need to take our rightful place. We need to know how to lay hands on people. We know how to demand and command. You know, there's things we need to demand in the spiritual realm. When you're taking authority over devils, you ain't going to sweet talk to them. You're going to demand. I command. I demand you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one with all authority and all power. Amen. Then you'll see results. Amen.
Amen.
Results. Well, I just quit praying because I'm not seeing results. Keep praying until you get results.
Amen.
You ain't praying long enough is the problem then. Pray until you get results.
Push.
Pray until you get the petition that you asked for. Amen. Pray and believe and trust and communicate and speak. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
I'm glad I came to church tonight. How about
Amen.
You, Sister Sheila? Amen. Y'all pray, brethren. Pray for the work. Pray for our endeavors. Pray that we could be more evangelistic. Oh, we need some evangelists going out of the church. No, you're all evangelists. Evangelists go to churches. They're burned over. They're dead. They're dry. They're not drawing. The prisons, there are people drawn in there. There's people in the prisons that need evangelists. That's where the evangelist needs to be, is in the prisons. You know, the church, they've already got expecting what you're going to say, and they want this and that, and you're going to have to fit this little criteria for them to fit in their little thing, and that's this and that. But then people out there in the houses that you're going into and the job sites that you're going to and your shopping number, those are the ones that you need to evangelize. They're the ones that need Jesus. The church has hurt them. The church has hurt them in such a way they don't want nothing to do with church no more. Well, I was going to that church, man, he ran off my Aunt Lucy. I was going to that church over there and they done this. You know, they're inexcusable, brethren. But let's reach them. You're evangelists, every one of you. I thought you didn't believe that women could be in the fivefold ministry. Brethren, we're all evangelists in the name of the Lord by taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out to people. You ain't a part of the fivefold ministry, but you're in the ministry of helps, men and women alike. Women win people to God. The conviction of God, a woman's spirit, the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost on a woman can convict a man of his sins and could draw him. We're not going to strip him off with flags and dance, ballerina and stuff. And that's what the churches are using with the women today to draw men. They get them up there ballerina and waving flags and stuff. That preacher needs to get born again.
Amen.
You know, when you see a preacher doing that kind of stuff, he needs to get born again. He's the same kind of ignorant. It'd be at the football game. Amen. But we don't allow that stuff in the house of God. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. I feel good. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming to the house of God. Take heed to things. You know, brethren, we come up here and we speak and talk about the word. Take our time. Just talk with you. Try to expound on a little bit. Exhort a little bit. But this is word. This is life. This is fellowship. This is revelation. And we got to bring this to pass. We got to bring this into the hearts of other people. When we unify, brethren, there's nothing that could break the bond. Nothing. There ain't no devil of hell could touch us when we all come into one mind and one accord. Nothing could touch us. Nothing could separate us. Nothing could put this asunder. We'll be so strong. Brother Pike's vision, he shared with us, he said he saw them wild stallions, talking about the other works of the Lord. All around, wild stallions running wild and running crazy. And he said he looked over and he said all the brethren were these big horses. He expressed, he said their muscles were sticking out of the big blood veins down there. And they were shoulder to shoulder and these wild ones were just hitting them. And he said just bouncing off, couldn't penetrate, couldn't touch them, couldn't move them. You see, what was he seeing? He was seeing you and I. When we unify together in one mind and one accord. He was talking about the brotherhood there, but that's what we are, brethren. We're the brotherhood. We don't want to depart the faith. We don't want to remove the old landmarks. We don't want to look for what we call, you know, this is a different time and there's nothing wrong with it. You start looking down that trail, you're gone already. When you start looking down those trails, well, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that. Guard over your fellowship. Parents, guard over the fellowship of your children. I had to tell some people right here in this church they need to break fellowship with one of my granddaughters. You know, hey, I love my grandchildren, but when they go contrary to the word and they go contrary to the revelation and they start getting the love of the world, then you need to break fellowship with them. If my wife does that, I'll tell you to break fellowship with her. You understand that? If I do that, you need to break fellowship with me. Y'all get together in men's meeting and pull some order in here. You understand that? That's what you need to do. Brethren, let's walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Let's think in the same mind, the mind of revelation. Nothing will stop us. We need to start winning souls. We need to see an increase where we're not building out this wall because we want to. We're going to be pushing out that wall because we have to.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.